Good evening.
When I was a little boy, I remember going to my grandparents' house, and my grandpa had, they had a room that was called the convention center. They would use it to have members of the congregation over to have meals and things like that. But I remember in one wall of the convention center, there was this old cedar chest. And in this old cedar chest was, just a wealth of toys that any young child could believe. And, I mean, it just seemed like it was endless, the amount of things that were in here. You would be pulling, it's like a surprise every time. You always found new toys, always pulling out new things. It's like, what are you going to get? I was thinking of another situation kind of like this. I don't know if you've ever seen a magician, you know, pulling things out of the hat, where you just kind of watch and they pull out thing after thing. It's like, man, what's going to come next? I don't know why, but these two scenarios popped in my head, and I guess what I was thinking was, far too often this is the case with my heart. Or sometimes I just don't know what's coming next. Sometimes it's like I pull out things that I really didn't expect to. Feel like I go quite a while just, you know, pulling out good and righteousness, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's wrath or anger or whatever the case may be. It's like, where did that come from? It's very important to watch what comes out of our hearts. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is where I'm going to begin this evening, starting in the 20th verse. And it says this: "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your heart to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." In this passage, the writer Solomon compares your heart to springs of life. And when I originally read this, and I think the meaning is you can derive life from a heart that holds on to this wisdom that he's portraying. But I was also thinking of, you know, your heart produces a spring that you will drink from all of your life. If you have a polluted heart, if you have things that are in your heart that shouldn't be, well, all of your life you're going to be drinking those things, and so are all those that are around you. All of your life, what is contained in your heart is going to be taken in by you and those around you. And like, it's pretty important what comes out of it, doesn't it? Now turn over with me to Matthew chapter 16. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, "Honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever I have that would help you has been given to God," he is not to honor his father or mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you: 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" After Jesus called the crowd to them, he said to them, "Hear and understand: it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man? For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fortifications, thefts, false witness, slanderers. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. That whole ending part just kind of slaps you in the face. This defiling is such a hard word, but that's the word that Jesus uses. Not just the things that come out of our mouth, but our thoughts and our actions. These things that arise out of our hearts can defile us. That's pretty serious. And, you know, all of us here know that, and we are, we're all trying our best. I flip back to Proverbs 4, and most of us, I would say all of us, are trying to look directly ahead, that we are trying to fix our gaze straight, that we are trying to follow the path of righteousness, that we're trying to do all of these things, and yet there are just times where something comes up where we don't follow the path that we should. And those times can be so frustrating. We are not inherently righteous. We are trying to learn how to do something. And I guess when I think, I'll use this as an example. I tried to learn a thing or two about electricity at one point in time. And whenever you're trying to learn something new, you put so much time and effort into it. But there's still times where, in my case, you get shocked. And you get shocked, and you get shocked, and you make a mistake, and it's just so disappointing. It's like, oh, when am I ever going to be able to do something right? Am I ever going to be able to do this? And you get so disappointed. Most of you who have a talent or a trade or something like that you do, I bet your thought is probably, well, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's how you learn. Everybody is going to make mistakes. And you're so right. I mean, we are. We are not perfect people. Are we going to make mistakes as we go on this path of righteousness? Of course we are. Oh, yeah. We're going to make a lot of them. One of the things that I think about is Peter in Galatians 2, where he started, and you remember he was eating with the Gentile brethren for a little bit, but then when some Jewish brethren from James came, he started to separate himself from them, and he ended up having to be confronted about that from Paul. And while I don't like the situation, it's kind of comforting to realize that even apostles fell short. Now, you can take that too far. We are going to make mistakes. That's honest. That's why we need Jesus. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus. That's such a great thing about Jesus, is we can make mistakes. And he cleanses us. He gives us the ability to get up and keep going. But again, we can take that too far where we make mistakes. It's like, you know, praise God, I'm forgiven that. And then we just move on. Again, you saw, you look at this instance with Peter. This instance of falling short. What do you think Peter did with that? What do you think Peter did after this situation? I don't know the timing of the letters, but I do want to read this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Peter says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. This Peter talking about hospitableness, talking about this love towards one another. So either after this situation with Peter and the Gentiles, I believe either he made the change to write this with a sincere heart and without hypocrisy, or I believe that he remembered the words that he once wrote and he changed. Mistakes teach us a lot of things, but we have to change. We have to look at them and change what we're doing. Praise God that we can mess up, that we can make mistakes, that he does cleanse us. But what does it show us? It shows us that we still have some room to work. And I can, whenever I mess up and I pull something out of my heart that I wish hadn't have come out, I can, you know, look all over the place and say, where did that come from? Well, it came from my heart. That's the honest answer. There's still something in there that came out from. Which means I need to do an honest look in my heart and try to find it and get it out. Again, we recall that that Solomon compared the heart to springs, right? If we were getting our water from, you know, the spring or cistern or well or whatever like that, and we learned that there was, I don't know, like let's say a rotting corpse from some animal that was in that water that we were drinking from, would we just leave it in there? Well, you know, it only a little bit breaks off every once in a while that I even know that it's in there. Well, do we just look past that and leave it in there, or do we do something about it? Usually we do something because, you know, we know, even though we may not always see the results of that in our drinking water, it's still contaminating the water. It is very important that we don't leave the springs dirty. Part of that, part of the cleaning process, is by watching what we're putting into our hearts. I bring up the illustration of the magician again. We know that magic isn't real. The magician can only pull out what he puts in. We know that I know that the cedar box in my grandparents' house was not endless. You could only pull out what was put in. So what are we putting into our heart? Where did the Pharisees and scribes fall short? Back in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This Solomon, as he's writing this, has spoken numerous times in previous chapters about true wisdom that comes from God, that comes from a fear of God, that is rooted in God. And really, I see that's where the Pharisees fell short. The reason why they were defiling themselves, the reason why they were pulling out what they were, is because they replaced God's word and replaced it with their own tradition. It's not a bad thing to wash hands. It's not a bad thing to devote things to God. But when you replace God's word in your heart with these things, that it defiles it just like anything else. Because in the end, that turns to idolatry. So what do we need to fill our hearts with? Well, with God's word. We need to fill our hearts with God and putting God first. And also we need to fill our hearts with Jesus. I mean, isn't he the giver of the living water? We see in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, and he says, and he asks her to give him a drink, and she's surprised. Why is he asking me to give her a drink? And he answers and says to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So we fill our hearts with God's word. Obviously, we remove the things that we are replacing God's word with, or the things that are making us slip up, and we also fill our hearts with Jesus. And the combination of this is the greatest cleaning agent that we could ever imagine. God's Word, which shines on our heart and shows us the things that we need to remove, that shows us the things where we fall short, that shows us the pollution that can be in our heart. And it gives us the opportunity to remove those things, to wash ourselves clean of those things. And then Jesus, who we can fill our hearts with, who is the perfect and living water. If we fill ourselves with these things, if we cleanse ourselves with these things, then how could we ever remove something bad from our hearts? But the trick is, it's so easy to pollute our hearts again. You think about some of the bad habits that can creep into our hearts. The sinful habits, the grumbling and the complaining, which is one of the biggest things that is so easy to catch on that, is not fit for a child of God. And so easily they can pollute our hearts. Remember what Solomon said in chapter 4, in verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence. It's not just about cleansing our hearts, but you're watching that stuff that's trying to make its way back in, that's trying to worm its way back in. I love the audience that I'm talking to for this sort of point. You're all a bunch of West Texans who dwell on the plains. You know how to protect things. You know how to guard things. You know how to guard things securely. We need to have that same mindset about our hearts. I know if we were, guarding anything, we would not allow whatever is trying to take it to still hang around or dwell around. But we'd chase it off. We'd get it out of the way. We need to have that same mindset about our hearts. This joy that Christ gives us, this peace that Christ gives us, this different mindset from the world that Christ gives us, that people and things out in the world just try so hard to change. You need to have this protective mindset. Like, no, I'm not going to let you take that away from me. Not Christ's joy. Not Christ's love. Not Christ's peace that is in me. You cannot take that away. I am going to be a child of God no matter what. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about, beating people away with a stick or anything like that. But just protecting and fighting with the weapons that a child of God has, which is our peace, which is our joy, which is knowledge of God's Word. Guarding our hearts with diligence. And it's amazing. It's amazing that once we have this clean heart where we're pulling out good things, like, it's such a blessing for us. It gives us life, but it also gives others life. We could be too concerned with, where we can fall short is where we're concerned with what's going in, but not concerned with what's coming out. Which is another place where the Pharisees fell short. They were very concerned with what they were receiving, what was coming in. They were concerned with receiving self-righteousness by them fulfilling the tradition of their elders. They were concerned with getting praise, for looking righteous, and how they looked. They were very concerned with that, but they were not concerned with what was coming out. They weren't concerned with respecting their parents. They were not concerned with obedience to God. It's not, and obviously what they were taking in was wrong. They weren't taking in God's Word. They were taking in their traditions and their own praises and things like that. But it would have been very obvious that they would have focused on what was coming out, how they were treating others, how they were treating God. It is very important, not just what is going into our hearts, but how that's showing itself, how that is coming out to others, and how that is coming out to God. It's one thing to have this beautiful, clear stream in us, but it's another thing to give that away, to give that to others who need it. So I want you to think for just a second. Think about everything that's come out of your heart. you know, today or within the last week. I know, obviously, can't think of everything, but think about what's come out of your heart. If you're like me, there's probably something that's come out that you wish hadn't. Whether it be a thought or a word, whatever it may be. That shows that we're human, that we fall short, but it also shows us that we do have some work to do. The question is, for me, am I going to do something about it or not? First step is to have Jesus. So if you do not tonight, if you need to put him on in baptism, we give you the opportunity to do that now while we stand and as we sing.